Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
You are listening to Love Living Radio, Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and the power that resides within you. Inside the power of love is the possibility of healing wounds and transforming your stories. Can you feel the call of your spirit? What would igniting your whole being look like? Discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion, Emily shares the unlimited power of love.
Hi, everybody. I'm not going to lie, I'm a little bit nervous today. This is my first time doing a live video, and it's also a topic that is a little bit vulnerable for me. Today's episode is called "You're Gonna Have to Face It, You're Addicted to Love." And the song by Robert Palmer says, whoa, you'd like to think that you're immune to this stuff. Oh, yeah. It's closer to the truth to say you can't get enough. You know you're going to have to face it. You're addicted to love. And when I was thinking about naming this episode, that song kind of popped into my head. And I was like, oh, God, that's the perfect title for this episode. What we're going to be talking about today is love addiction, but it's a little bit more of like, how do we relate to love and where are we relating from? It's something that I've been working really deeply on for pretty much about the past year. And it's a deep one for me, a really deep one. Like it starts way, way back. So what does it mean? What does that mean to be addicted to love? And obviously we have the concepts of love addiction out there, just like any other addiction. And it shows up differently for everybody. And the way that I'm going to be talking about it today might be a little bit different, but probably hit on a lot of the same stuff. So last year, at the end of last year, one of my really good friends, my friend who I do a lot of my processing work with and work through all my stuff with, she said something to me that really triggered me and also kind of got me thinking. She said, it feels like your connection with men, that men are like a lifeline for you. And of course, you know, for me, that was like, oh, it kind of stung a little bit, especially as like a strong, independent feminist woman. But it stung for a reason, right? Like those things that hit us, those things that trigger us, it's because they're there. It's because we have that button to push, so to speak. And so I started taking a look. Literally, actually, in that moment, I went right into treatment with someone and just started processing, and it just started flowing. And I started seeing all of these ways in which my connection and need for attention and validation and affection from men were kind of like a lifeline, that there was a little bit of an addiction there. And luckily, because I've been doing the work on myself, my healthy self, the part of me that can hold space for all of this, the part of me that can see beyond the fear, beyond the stuff, and can hold space for my heart, you know, and the truth that I know in it, you know, my higher knowing, that healthy self was never totally offline. This year, luckily, you know, which is why I have so much awareness around it now. You know, the awareness comes from my healthy self. The fear comes from my survival self. And I'm going to be using these terms a lot. So I'm going to kind of explain what they mean a little bit. So the healthy self is that part of us that knows, right? It's like our higher self, our intuitive self, our heart. It's the part of us that's been doing the work and can see past the fear and the panic and the anxiety and the stuff that comes up in life. And then our survival self is basically kind of like our subconscious. Sometimes people refer to it as a shadow self, but I think it's really more that innate part of our humanity that wants to just protect us, you know, and we create so much around it. And to be honest, humans are reacting and acting from our survival self like 90% of the time. And it shows up in all sorts of ways. So to just clarify, because these are terms that we're going to use a lot today and probably in the future, healthy self and survivor self. Healthy self is kind of like love-based. Survivor self is a little bit fear-based. You know, it's that protection mode. So over the past year of me working with this and looking at my relationship with love and men, I watched how my survivor self would show up with love and my healthy self would show up with love. And it's really not a coincidence either that like love is my purpose. Love is the like primary thing running through my life. It is how I set up my practice. It is the essence of who I am. You know, it's this driving force in my life. So it kind of makes sense that both parts of me, both my healthy self and my survivor self, would have some kind of a relationship with it, right? Because I am both. So therefore, both have a relationship to love. So from my survivor self, my connection with men can show up like a need that just cannot be filled. You know, like it is sometimes this desperate need for love and attention and affection, to feel desired and wanted and seen. And none of that is wrong. You know, and that's something that I want to make really clear, that none of that is wrong. It's very human. But it also sometimes doesn't serve me and doesn't serve what I really want, which is connection and relationship. And first and foremost, connection and relationship with myself. So the way that this kind of survivor self shows up can be a little bit addictive. You know, like I noticed, and that was the big thing. This is a really important piece. Like the reason why I've gotten so much awareness around this relationship that I have to love and men is because I chose to notice. I chose to notice how my body responds when I receive a text from a man. I chose to notice, you know, the feelings that come up, my patterns around relationship, my patterns around how I interact with men. It's literally endless. The amount of awareness that I've gotten over the past year just by consciously choosing to notice. And I said this in another interview that I did earlier this week with a wonderful woman, actually from British Columbia. And I said to her that the action, the doing part, because that's usually what we're always striving for. Like, okay, well, what do I do? What do I do to fix this? What do I do? What do I do? And the doing around like noticing your relationships is actually the noticing, right? Like the noticing is the doing. And with noticing, with awareness, comes the shift. It comes the shift in your being. It comes the shift from your being and then into your life. So what is noticing your addictive qualities or your addictive tendencies around love look like? Well, for me, it looks like noticing the fact that when I wake up in the morning, I look at my phone and I'm like, who loves me? Does anybody love me? I actually look at my phone and I'm wondering if anybody's texted me, if a man has texted me. And noticing that's my first go-to when I wake up in the morning is like, woof, okay. All right, girl, let's take a look at that. Let's take a look at that with some compassion. But let's take a look at that. You know, it's also noticing that, like, during the day when I'm with clients, I also, my go-to pattern, the thing that I noticed most was my phone and texting. That's how it shows up the most for me. And from there, I was able to kind of take a step back, ask myself the hard questions. Where is this coming from? Where is this need to hear from, to have my primary love language is words of acknowledgement. So obviously it makes sense that, like, I need the text messages, I need the emails, I need the notes and the voicemails saying, hey, I love you, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. That is my primary love language. It's just, again, noticing where is it coming from? Where is the need and the reaching out coming from? My healthy self or my survivor self? And we're gonna kind of talk about this a lot more. We're also gonna get into some of the nitty gritty stuff and some of the more personal stuff, and a lot more about the awareness that I've gotten around all of this. That'll hopefully shed a little bit of light for you guys too. So stay tuned. We're gonna take a little bit of a break and we'll be right back.
The Knowledge Book, currently studied in 39 countries and 15 languages around the world, accelerates our evolution, takes us out of depression, offers universal truth, protects us, and makes us stronger, both spiritually and physically. So if you are interested in the Knowledge Book, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net and tune in to the Knowledge Book Radio with Marge Potasik on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Demystifying the Journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, visit DianeGarris.com.
Welcome back. Oh, this is kind of fun. Okay, so before the break, we were talking about the healthy self and the survivor self and how those two things kind of relate to and show up with our connection to men and love addiction. And, you know, I want to kind of, so I looked up the definition for addiction today, actually, when I was starting to prepare for this. And one of them is a persistent and compulsive use of a substance known by the user to be harmful. And the reason why I give you that is because the word addiction has a whole lot of charge with it for people. You know, there's a lot of meaning that people put on it. And so I want to just kind of make sure that we know that, like, what I'm talking about here is that kind of persistent compulsive desire, even when we know that it's harmful. And So, okay. When I was going through some of this processing work, I was talking to a mentor about 2 weeks ago. And I was like, God, I just need some help around this because I've been working on it for a year and a whole bunch of different sides of it have shown up. But I had gotten to a point where I was like, okay, I think I need to do something, consciously choose to do something that I know is going to shift this relationship that I have with love and men and my kind of addictive tendencies around being connected to men, around my need for validation and attraction with men. So I told her that I was thinking about doing a no man month, which pretty much means no connection or communication with men that I know kind of trigger or bring up this energy, right? This way of being, this addictive way of being. And when I told her that I was thinking about doing this no man month, I told her, holy crap, that brings up so much fear. And she was like, all right, what is the fear? And the first thing that came out of my mouth, it just literally rolled right out of my mouth, was I will lose all the love. So for my survivor self, that protection, that innate kind of like fight or flight part of me, way back in the back of my subconscious, literally was like, I'm going to lose all the love if I'm not connected to men. If I'm not texting them and in communication with men in my life, then, and specifically men that there's attraction or that give me a certain level of validation. If I don't have that connection, I will lose all the love. So if I do a no man month where I'm not connected to any men for a month, I will lose all the love. And then she said, okay, well, what happens if you lose all the love? And I said, I will die. Like, and my rational brain knows that that's not true, right? My healthy self knows that that's not true. But in allowing myself to be with the core subconscious process with my mentor, that's what came up. And I was like, wow, wow. Like my survivor self literally thinks I will die without the love and connection and attention of men. And then, my like independent, strong ass feminist came in and was like, really, really? Seriously, Emily, did you just say that? And a whole lot of shame came up. And when I realized was that like, I actually have been playing this out all year as I've been processing this, you know, every time I think about like, every time I look at this piece around needing connection and attention from men, I have a lot of shame around it because I am a strong, self-possessed, self-aware woman. And according to my brain, I should not need that. I shouldn't need it. You know, like I shouldn't need love. And which sounds ridiculous also, but like that warrioress in me is like, girlfriend, what? You know? So in realizing that this was such a core belief, like this was such a core down to the very roots of who I am, started when I was just a baby type of thing. Like it's big. This thing I've been working on is big. It literally has the potential to shift everything. Which is why I've been working on it, which is why it's, you know, something that I continually commit to and keep choosing. So, you know, I'm going through this beautiful core leadership program. And part of that program is knowing our Enneagram. And your Enneagram, the Enneagram is basically a personality types. It's a character categorizing of personality types, and there's seven. And I am a two. And the two is the helper and the nurturer and the healer, which is totally me. And our core fear as twos, as this personality type, is our core fear is to lose the love, is to be unloved or unwanted or alone. And it just made so much sense. You know, like it just started putting all the pieces together. Like, oh yeah, of course, like this survivor self literally thinks that I'm going to die if I don't have the love. You know, that's how base it is. And I think it's not just twos. You know, it's not just this personality type. I think that it's a human need to be loved, to feel loved. But where is it coming from? You know, like, and it's this way with love, and you can look at it in terms of every other thing that we relate to in life, time, money, whatever. But love is one of those basic needs that says and shows us a lot. You know, like it shows us, it has the potential to show us our own needs. You know, it has this, the potential to show us where we're having disconnect in relationships. It has the potential to show us where the power leaks are, right? Because like in having this outward need of attention and validation from men, that's a power leak. That's me not, you know, having that within myself, which I'm going to be honest and clear that like I have been working with myself and doing the treasure hunting and the inner work for years. So like that foundation is there, but there's always little power leaks, you know, and that's what the work is figuring out where the leaks are. So from my healthy self, I can be compassionate with all of the shame, you know, all the shame that comes up around this, around me needing as a core fundamental need, love and connection and affection. And then my healthy self can also see that my survivor self is this little child that is scared. You know, because when we were little, we actually did need attention and love in order to survive. That was a reality when we were babies. So that's where this all comes from. Like that first initial moment in life when we're babies, where the world doesn't feel safe, or we don't feel loved, or however it shows up, you know, there's that moment for everybody. And you may know that moment and you may not, and it doesn't actually matter. But where that initial fear around not having the love comes from is from that little girl. And it allows me to have a little bit of compassion with her, you know, to have a little bit of compassion around that need. And then what happens when you can soften around the judgment of that need? It may be that you have new options of how to fulfill that need. Maybe it's not necessarily having to text and reach out. Maybe it's not necessarily, you know, trying to make plans with a man in my life who I know loves and appreciates me and will shower me with compliments. Maybe it's actually getting a hug from a girlfriend or taking myself to the beach like I did last night, and sitting on the sand and diving in the water and watching the moon come up and just taking some quiet time to myself to just ground and love and nurture myself. So there's all these different ways of relating and noticing. And what I kind of want to dive into next is looking at the ways to relate, different ways to relate to this. So I'm reading the 7 Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. And it's brilliant. It's a brilliant book. You know, there's a reason why billions of copies have been sold, and it's been like republished a million times. And one of the foundations of this book is based on different ways of experiencing life through being, really. Dependence, independence, and interdependence. And I'm not going to dive in too much into the specifics right now because we're going to take a little bit of a break in a little bit. But I want you to maybe think about what those three words mean and what they bring up for you. Dependence, independence, and interdependence, and how they might relate to how we relate to love. How might they show up for you in terms of your relationships, romantic or non? But for now, let's look at romantic. You know, like, how does dependence and independence and interdependence look for you when it comes to your relationships? It's pretty fascinating. And I'll tell you a little bit about what came up for me and how it shows up for me when we come back. But I know it's just so sad. We have to take a break. But stay with us. There's a whole lot more to come.
A space of allowing radio with Coach Nancy Coco, welcoming all that wants to be present today. Tune in Thursdays every first and third week at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Coach Nancy helps you find a space of allowing. Join Coach Nancy to explore what lives at your edges and to bring more of yourself home. For more information, visit NancyCocoCoaching.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Golden Otter Divinations Radio, where the metaphysical meets the mainstream with Autumn Seibel. Tune in the first Friday every month at 9 a.m. Pacific as Autumn, educator, health coach, and medium, explores metaphysical and mainstream strategies on how to elevate your level of conscious living. Draw in the abundance that is yours by divine right. For more information about working with Autumn, visit goldenotter.us. That's golden like the precious metal and otter like the precious animal.us.
What's up? Welcome back to Love Living Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. This means a lot, a lot, a lot. This whole process has been so much fun and so crazy for me. Tons of growth. So before the break, we were talking about dependence, independence, and interdependence when it comes to love and relationship. So from dependence, this is, you know, like a little bit into my brain over the past week and what I've been processing, but from dependence, I need connection. I need that validation, and I need it in order to actually feel like worthy and special. And I am like dependent on those text messages, like dependent on the dates and the Tinder notifications and like the compliments, totally dependent on the compliments in order to feel like I'm actually alive. Like that is like the dependent version. You know, from coming from that place of dependence, that's how it happens for me. And then the independence will step in that kind of like warrior-esque that I was talking about before, that independence will step in and say, girl, you're a badass. Seriously, like, you're a feminist. Get your shit together. Like, you don't need anybody, you know? You got it. And all you need is yourself. Like, from independence, it's like, all you need is you. Which, you know, that's not the healthy version either. So, what's the third option? Interdependence. Interdependence is the we. Dependence is the you. Independence is the me. And then interdependence is the we. And my healthy self knows the interdependence, right? It knows it. It knows what that looks like. And I'm a human. I need love. Like, that is a human basic need. So I'm never not going to need that. So figuring out how to be with this piece, how to be with the need for love and attention, or let's just say love for now, is not getting rid of my need for love. That is a human basic need. I'll say that again. It is a human basic need. It's not getting rid of the longing either. You know, it's about partnering with myself and with other people. That's part of the we, to create a new way of being around this, where we can both be healthy, where and even where the survivor self and the healthy self can both show up, like they can both exist. You know, like I can have the awareness of the shame and then offer it a lot of compassion with my healthy self. That's where both get to show up and get to be real. And part of it is also from the interdependence is awareness, right? Is the noticing. That is very much a part of the interdependence. It's knowing my triggers and my urges. For me, that texting or that like mindlessly scrolling Tinder or trying to reach out and make plans with men. You know, so part of that interdependence is pausing and asking myself, okay, what's the need? You know, what is the need inside of the feelings? Because most of the time my pattern is that I have a feeling. Maybe it's sadness. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's feeling like literally actually feeling alone. And it can sometimes be really subtle. You know, sometimes we don't even realize that we're having the feeling. And that's part of the process of noticing also, is noticing and acknowledging the feeling so that you can actually know what the need is inside of the feeling. You know, like, okay, I'm feeling sad and I might feel a little bit lonely. What do I need right now? Do I actually need to scroll through Tinder? To be honest, probably not. I probably need a hug. I probably need, you know, to sit down with a loved one, not necessarily a man, but maybe it is a man. There's nothing wrong with that either. And just having a little bit of connection. And maybe even if I want to, if I feel really bold, asking for some acknowledgement. That feels like a super, super uncomfortable for most people and especially for me. So getting clear about what the feeling is and getting clear about what the need is inside of the feeling. It's a super powerful tool everywhere in your life, right? Because how often do we actually acknowledge in the moment how we're feeling and then know what the need is inside of it? How many times do people ask you what your need is and we're like, I don't know. I don't know. So this tool is huge everywhere, but it's really powerful when we're looking at our relationships and our relationship to love. So Mulligan just squealed. Mulligan was just giving you a little bit of love, everybody. Okay, so one more piece. I find that when my own love cup, like my own inner self love cup, is a little bit low, my self love cup is low, that's a lot of the time when these feelings start to come up. And my self-love cup usually gets a little bit low in times of a lot of outward energy, right? So like I'm super busy work moments or weeks or whatever, in times of super busy work stuff, in times of super busy social stuff. You know, when my energy is actually going outward, that's when I tend to realize or tend to see the patterns that my own self-love cup is getting a little bit low. I'm giving, 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 and then there's just not enough in there for me. And so I'm like depleted, and coming from that depleted self, so there, that depleted place, then I start to feel those feelings of sadness and loneliness. And I think that the need is validation from men. When, you know, like inside of that depleted place, it's never enough. It's never enough love. It's never enough recognition. It's never enough attention. It's never enough sex. You know, from that deficit, from that survivor self, it's never going to be enough. It's insatiable. And that's a really important distinction for me. And I think probably for a lot of us, you know, like if we're in that space of our survivor self, when we're a little low on our own self-love, then it's never going to be enough. You know, like it's just not enough. So, and sometimes, like sometimes I'm going to make this clear too. Sometimes we actually do need just connection with another human being. And sometimes that may be men. I'm also not making that wrong, you know, and that's was an important piece for me to acknowledge also, that this need is not wrong, you know, and I struggle with that sometimes, you know, because I think that I have to fix it because I'm a little bit of a recovering fixer, recovering perfectionist. I'll totally own that. But there's nothing to fix. There really isn't. You know, it's just being with my need, being with my feelings, and noticing which am I coming from, my healthy self or my survivor self. And then knowing what comes next is usually a little bit easier. You know, like from my healthy self, I can get that need met in all sorts of ways. And most of it, like I can actually choose whether or not that need is met. Like I can choose for a hug to fulfill that need. I can choose for a really good, deep, open, you know, conscious, explorative conversation with a girlfriend. I can choose for that to be enough to fill that need. And sometimes I might need sex. And sometimes I might need, you know, like a crazy adventure with a man that I really like. You know, like the point isn't to make the need for love and connection wrong. It's about noticing when it's from the healthy place and when it's from a disempowered place. So what did I realize? You know, like what is all of this in service of? Why? What for? Why look at this piece? Oh my gosh. I mean, it feels like shifting this piece for me around how I relate to love and how I relate to men has infinite potential. Really, it has infinite potential because it's really about how I relate to love as a whole. And for me, love being my purpose, that's kind of a big deal. It's really kind of a big deal. And it's everywhere in my life. So the potential is really in looking at being healthy and powerful within myself around my connection with men and the parts that maybe are a little bit disempowering. The potential in that is actually making space for the thing that I really, really want. It's making space for that person, that relationship that is healthy and balanced. And I'm not going to say there isn't going to be challenge. That's just relationship. You know, it's not going to be this perfect, beautiful fairy tale romance. There may be moments of that, but it's also real life. But what it will bring is authenticity. You know, the potential in shifting this lens for me is, it's the thing, you know, like it's the relationship, it's the person, it's, you know, clearing out the connections that I have with wonderful men that may not be what I'm actually looking for, what I actually truly want in a partnership, but I'm connected to them because they're giving me love, because they're giving me that validation and attention. You know, clearing with consciousness and compassion, those connections, which feels scary to let go of those, you know, like that's my safety, that's my security, right? My survivor self says I need that in order to stay alive. But if I'm coming from a healthy place, I know that creating space, and what that means is maybe letting go of some of the relationships that are just there to feed that survivor self, to feed that part of me that feels like I need that attention, even though it maybe isn't the man that I want to be with, even though I may know that. Clearing space is literally actually making space for that person, right? I'm now in alignment with and calling in and can call in the thing I really want. So that's crazy powerful. At least it is for me. It may not be for you, but it is for me. It just makes me smile. It just makes me smile, the idea of that thing, that person, that relationship that feeds my soul. Oh, it's good stuff. Okay, we're going to take a little bit of a break, but we will be right back, and we've got a lot more to talk about. So stay tuned. Thanks, guys.
Are you ready to attract abundance, release stress, look and feel younger, all from your smartphone? Get Pure Light, a free mobile app with audios that transmit powerful frequencies to shift anything in your life. Created by some of the world's top energy healers, these audios have created miracles, often quickly. Enjoy the latest in conscious technology and download Pure Light today. To find out more, visit purelightaudio.com.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Would you like your next chapter to be free from fear and angst? Tune in to Your Next Chapter Radio, navigating through life's transitions with Shelley Ryan the fourth Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Shelley's contagious enthusiasm guides you through life's transitions deliberately, mindfully, and funnily. For Your Next Chapter coaching or to listen, visit YourNextChapterCoaching.com or call 602-617-8351. Next!
Everybody, welcome back. I am Emily Perkins. This is Love Living Radio, and we are talking about love. Go figure, on Love Living Radio. We're talking about love in a very specific way, though. We're talking about it from an addictive side. And we're also talking, so far we've talked a lot about the healthy self and the survivor self, and also what love looks like from dependence, independence, and interdependence. I've had so much awareness around this piece, especially this week. So before the break, I was talking about how I was talking to my mentor about doing a no man month. And because I had so much fear around doing a no man month, she was like, all right, well, why don't you just do a no man week? And so this past week, I did a no man week, which meant I reached out to some of the guys that I had been talking to, not all of them romantic or partners, just, you know, guys that I knew I reached out to for that pull, you know, like that to satiate that need. So I told them that I was taking this week to focus on myself. Some of the guys that I felt would understand it, I told them I was doing a week of not communicating with men in service of something that I've been working on for a while, pretty much all year. So even just having those conversations was really empowering, you know, and it was also really interesting to see their response. But this no man week where I basically just didn't consciously reach out. And if like I had a couple of men reach out to me, and in integrity with how I want to be with people, I didn't ignore them. I just told them what I was doing, which is coming from a place of ownership, right? And integrity for me. But it was really interesting because I also was able to use those moments when those guys texted me to watch my response, to watch what happened for me, you know, because there's a very physical response that happens when I get that fix, right? Like that jolt of the thing that I think I need. And to put this into perspective for you guys, there is actually like a neurochemical response that happens, right? Like the chemicals in our brain are released subconsciously during feelings of like excitement and attentiveness and sexual desire and arousal, and that anxious energy that we get with butterflies. And the release of these chemicals actually mimic the same effects as drugs like cocaine, like seriously. So it kind of makes sense, like that fix, that jolt that you get from the thing that feels addictive is literally mimicking the same kind of addiction that you get with drugs. So like attraction releases dopamine and serotonin. Lust releases estrogen and testosterone. Attachment releases oxytocin and vasopressin. And so I can actually watch, you know, I did this week a lot. I watched what happened with my body when that fix would happen. And how can I be with it in a healthy way? How can I just notice it, not judge it, not make it wrong, right? Because that's what the independent me wants to do. It wants to make it wrong. That warrior S wants to make it wrong. But just watch it with a little bit of compassion and be like, okay, there it is. Got it. Now what? How do you want to be in integrity with this? And for me, that was, you know, communicating from a place of ownership and honesty. And then saying, okay, I'm gonna go offline for this week. And just even noticing that patch of the power leak, right? Because like instead of that giving away of, and it's a conscious giving away of my power to men in terms of needing that validation and that connection in order to feel worthy, like just communicating where I'm at and what's happening and what I'm working on and owning it is actually a little bit of a patch of that power leak. You know, like not just noticing what happens for me, but noticing like, how do I want to be with this? How do I want to communicate this with the people in my life? So an ownership in and of itself is a way of patching a power leak, right? Like ownership is just an incredible tool for. And ownership, I'm just going to make this clear. Ownership is not blame. ownership isn't me saying, oh my God, this is your fault for having this need. No, ownership is saying, okay, like, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm working on. There's nothing wrong with it. It just is. So what is this awareness, with all this awareness, what is the next step? What am I going to do with it? And I don't necessarily have to do anything with it, but because I'm at this place of where I've been kind of fostering this awareness for so long, I want to hold myself in this, hold myself in integrity with it. And what that looks like for me is creating space for the thing that I really want. Noticing, continuing to notice, because it's not going to go perfectly. It's just not. Like, my survival mechanism or my survivor self has a relationship with this thing, and I'm never getting rid of my survivor self. It's there. It's a part of being human. The Dalai Lama has a survivor self. So how do I choose to be with this so that I can feel powerful in it? Well, first of all, love is my purpose. Having a healthy relationship with love is part of what's going to make me powerful. It's part of what makes me powerful. So I keep looking at it. I keep working with it. And I don't need to get rid of the longing. I don't need to get rid of my need for love. I just have to know where it's coming from. And sometimes I might know and sometimes I might not. Again, it's not going to go perfectly. But knowing my patterns, having that awareness, that is the power. You know, like, your awareness of yourself and how you relate to these things like relationship and love and men and attention, even feeling wanted. You know, like, if you're needing sex all the time, which I went through a phase where I needed sex all the time. Is that coming from a place of survivor self that's needing a certain kind of attention and affection? Or is it coming from a place of just genuinely wanting to be united with someone or connected to someone? It's not always a simple answer. It isn't. And this is something that I'm going to continue working with probably forever, you know, continually looking at, how do I relate to people? How do I relate in relationship, romantic relationship, other kinds of relationship? And how do I relate to love? Because as a two, you know, on the Enneagram, and as a human, it is something that will always be a part of my life. And the thing that I keep reminding myself of, the thing that my healthy self knows so unconditionally, is that love is infinite. It's infinite and ever-present and abundant and infinite and unconditional. You know, that is what my higher self, my healthy self, knows, unwavering in that. And when I come back to that, I see love everywhere. I realize that there's love in the way that my clients hug me. There's love in the way that my dog looks at me. There's love in the way that my mom calls me to check in on me. Like, there's so many ways that I am loved. And when I actually create the intention of looking for it, of looking at all of the ways that I'm loved, I realize that it's just there. It's everywhere. And from there, from that full cup of love, that need looks a lot different. It looks a lot different. And I'm so grateful. I'm so very grateful to my friends and my loved ones and my clients and my dog. And I'm grateful to myself for creating this conscious time, this conscious space to really look at this, because, man, being powerful around love is literally my purpose. And it has so many beautiful possibilities of how it can feed my life and yours, I'm guessing. So thank you really, truly, wholeheartedly thank you. Thank you for joining me and for taking the time to listen and watch. I am Emily Perkins, and you're listening to Love Living Radio, and I wish you so much love in your life. Thank you. Bye, guys.
Thank you for listening to Love Living Radio, Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and the power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.